Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton. Today I want to talk a little bit about one-on-one play. Tim Shorts over at Gothridge Manors talked about that, and I've got my own experiences I want to mention about that. But first, a couple of call-ins. First, we have Glenn Hallstrom, old man Grognard, calling in, talking about bullet journals, and in response to yesterday's podcast about note-taking. Take it away, Glenn.
Hey, Larry, it's old man Grognard here. You asked how I take notes and things like that, and you wanted to hear from us? Well, I just put up episode 93, which is all about how I take notes of the non-electronic variety and what I use. And I also talk about bullet journals. You take a listen, and I think you'll like it. Anyway, keep up the good work, man. And I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hey, Glenn, thanks for that, and thanks for calling in. As I mentioned, I called in response to that. I've used those graph composition notebooks myself. I've got three or four of them that are in active use for different campaigns. One's got different ideas for the different convention games I run, and I've got three or four that were in storage, and Walmart with the back-to-school sales had a sale, and I think it was like less than a buck a piece, so I picked up four more, so I've got quite a stockpile of those. I keep telling myself to quit buying stuff and just finish using up all the notebooks I've already got. But anyway, I guess I like to be prepared and stocked up. So appreciate your thoughts on bullet journals. They are a very handy little thing. And like I mentioned in my last episode, I am trying to figure out how to do an episode on YouTube to kind of show different aspects of it. And when I get that together, I'll let you all know. Next up is Darren Green, brother of Colin, a.k.a. Spike Pitt. Darren has been christened Arfed, Rock Falls, Everyone Dies, by Hobbs. And he doesn't yet have a podcast, but he called in, and he has a few things to say about my card game. Take it away, Darren.
Hi, Larry. It's Arfed here. Just giving you a call to just give you a bit of support and let you know that it's not just the other podcasters on the Anchorites here that are listening to you. So enjoying your show. I was particularly interested in when you was talking about your card game. I'm a massive board game and card game fan. I have a large collection of games, and so interested to see how that goes. Trick-taking games are always good fun and a quick party game type style. So, yeah, I'd like to hear more about that. Everything else seems to be going well, so I wish you luck with your PDF on the Drive RPG, etc. Keep up the good work, and hope to hear from you again soon. Thanks.
Well, Darren, I'm glad you're intrigued by my card game. Like I said in past episodes, I'm not going to go into a lot of details about the game itself, but I will be talking about the trials and tribulations of getting a game ready to launch Kickstarter sometime next year. I mentioned in past episodes that I was kind of surprised that this idea just kind of struck like lightning, and it's like the heavens opened and I had the game idea, and it basically plays like I see it in my head. The playtesting knocked off the rough edges, and I basically have some logistics and art to line up, and I think it'll be a big success. I look forward to feedback on that. Thanks for your thoughts about my first PDF. I'm over 213 PDFs as of when I recorded this. I just released the patron-only draft of my next PDF about libraries, different tables for generating libraries and different aspects of libraries. You could also use it for a sage or a university or random treasure, fallen city, that sort of thing. So if you want to catch a glimpse of the rough draft, you can join my Patreon. Otherwise, you can wait for the Pay What You Want PDF to go out on DriveThru Now. That'll be the September PDF. The voting for the October PDF I'm going to work on closes next Saturday, the 15th of September. Of the patrons I have right now, just two of them, they both have indicated an interest in merchants. And I mentioned a while back in one of my episodes, I need a table, talking about my desire to scratch an itch with merchant and trade tables that other tables just don't seem to quite scratch. I'm not sure I managed to scratch it, but I've got a lot of different tables and such that I've come up with that I'm anticipating that's going to be the one for October. So I'm putting a lot of effort into that. So thanks again. Look forward to hearing what people say about my new PDF. And now on to the topic at hand. Tim Shorts at Guthridge Manor had an episode about one-on-one play and several call-ins on his last episode of different people and their experience. Well, my experience, I think our very first game, I don't recall if we got a friend involved or if my brother DM'd and I played just the two of us. We might have done that briefly. We're talking 40 years plus ago. I think my first character was probably a halfling. I think we did a lot of halflings the first few characters that we managed to kill off, that sort of thing. I haven't played a halfling in nearly 40 years. One of my favorite characters was a halfling. Anyway, my big experience with in-depth power gaming one-on-one with the game master, the Thanksgiving break my freshman year of college, I came home, and while I was away at college, my brother had launched his current campaign that's been running since then, over 35 years, I guess, now. And our youngest brother and a friend of ours were adventuring, and they had an NPC to round it out to three, I guess kind of a GM character, but not really. And they were having all kinds of fun adventures, and they were telling me about it. And when I was home for Thanksgiving break, we basically did 4 years of game time in four nights. And they were marathon sessions of gaming. I rolled up a character, a half-elf, fighter cleric magic user, and advanced Dungeons & Dragons. I went with fighter cleric magic user because as one-on-one gaming, he had to be able to handle anything. And he played it safe until he had like a level in each class, which that takes forever, dividing XP by three. And we got to the point where he... Well, my brother gave me the backstory for him to make sense of how he would fit into the campaign. And basically, he wanted to expand an area of his campaign. He called it Carbayan Moor, which was a hilly area. And it was a kingdom, the Northmen. They were basically Scottish clans in a D&D setting. And my character, Griswold Stewart of Clan Stewart, the King's clan, well, 50 some years ago, the Buchanan clan drove off the Stuarts, and Griswold's father ran off to the closest place, which was the Elven kingdom, and met Griswold's mother, an elf, yada, yada, yada. Griswold's father is like 86 years old when he starts adventuring, because a half-elf has to be like 50 years old before they can start doing anything. And I basically had the idea that I was going to be the next king if I could ever figure out how to make it work. And so I'm trying to get tough enough to go look for allies and whatnot. And I get wind of perhaps some Stuart cousins off in this Carbayan Wood, which is a really nasty area, giant trolls running around all over the place and other nasty things. And so I go over there and find some gnomish traders and say something about looking for the Stuarts. Well, then they jump me and tied me up, and took me to this group of bandits. And it turns out the grandson of the last king and the sons of the five dukes between the king and Griswold in the line of succession. So instead of being the next king, he's like number seven in line. And so then they go on their adventures, and I'm pulling out all the stops with every idea I can think of. And so we decide to start a merchant company, because my little brother and our friend, they got involved with the merchant company, and we weren't able to get part of the same merchant company. We got in with some other merchant, and in the guise of merchants, we got a map to all the trade routes in the kingdom, and we started setting up ambushes to raid caravans of merchants, you know, merchant wagon trains. And so as a fighter cleric magic user, I'd set up a glyph of warding in the road. And when the horses, the lead wagon, got to the glyph of warding, they were paralyzed, and it was basically a low magic setting. So they're saying, "Oh, it's a wizard," and the intimidation factor. And before that started, going back and forth between the Elvish Kingdom and this other city out on the plains, Griswold was traveling with some of his Elvish cousins, and we came upon a wolf wear, and Griswold was the only one with a magic weapon, so he basically was the only one that could affect it, and he managed to kill it. And so that made a big impression. So my brother, the game master, had the Elvish cousins sneak away his shield while he was sleeping, and they put the wolf symbol on it. It's a half black background, half gray background on the shield, and the wolf head is in opposite color. So gray on the black background and black on the gray background with red eyes. And so he became known as the wolf. And the exploits of raiding caravans and stuff, he got to the point where he was tough enough. He just had a couple of hirelings to watch his back. Well, he would go after merchant trains by himself. And we were trying to raise enough money to do stuff. And then the king says, "Oh, we got enough money. We're going to go to war." I'm like, "What? We've only got like 600 guys. I'm like, "Oh, we're going to get some help." I'm like, "Well, that's not enough. Their army's bigger than ours." So that's where I first started hiring mercenaries. I managed to hire 60 mercenaries and get an agreement with forces from the elves, with some Elvish cavalry and some archers and whatnot. The king, his group of guys was the Red Arrow, 100 longbowmen. Their fletchings were red. And then there were some smaller clans that were still loyal to the Stuarts. We got them to join with us. My brother let me stretch the use of a cleric command spell to get the 80-some-year-old clan chief of the, what was the name of that clan? I forget the name of the little clan, but he stood up and said, "Yeah, let's do it." And everybody says, "Yeah, it's going to be a fight." So we get some help from them. We managed to get, I don't know, about 3,000 troops all together. And we went up against like 5,000 or something like that in a pitched battle. There was a wizard in this city out on the plains, and I exchanged a favor for scrolls of what my brother calls battle magic fireball. So the dimensions are larger out on the battlefield. but the same damage. And I think it's a fourth level spell, so it's still a D6 per level, but it's a larger area of effect. And so I got several scrolls of that and maybe something else. I exchanged a favor for getting the elves to send some of their forces to help. It was actually the followers of the Elvish Moon Deity, who Griswold is a cleric of the Elvish Moon Deity. In this campaign, there's three moons, so he theolied. Oh my gosh. Anyway, with theology, he said, look, there's three moons. It's greater than the sun. And he was using that to convert people. Anyway, the elves were actually under the temple of them, and to get their help, had to promise to build a temple and do and exclusive rights of all other elvish religions in the kingdom, the human kingdom. Not a problem. Not many elves running around over there. And so the currency of favors. We finally have the pitched battle. Griswold's father joins him in the battle. So there's Griswold and his father and the 60 guys that he hired, and most units are 100. And the mass combat rules we used were brutal. If your unit got wiped out, the leveled characters had to make a save versus death. Well, this is where the first group of mercenaries that I hired got wiped out. The unit got wiped out against a stronger unit, and basically, being a cleric, Griswold had a better save versus death. His father, being a fighter, failed his save and basically threw Griswold out of the way and fell to the hordes. The scrolls of Battle Magic Fireball, we softened up the center. The Elvish cavalry and the archers, eventually we did enough damage, their morale broke. It was a rough victory, but we marched up to the city gates. The king showed the head of the former king, and they morale broke, and they let us in, and we were back in charge. Now it's trying to take the lands of the Stuarts back from the orcs, because the Buchanans didn't have the forces to maintain the lands after they drove the Stuarts out. And then there was civil war and intrigues and all that, plus all the orcs and the other evil things doing their stuff. And Griswold hiring all the mercenaries he could get, and eventually no more mercenaries were to be had. And my brother's like, well, you know, it's like this. You go to see kelp and you're like, follow me. And everybody's like, and die. So that's where follow me and die comes from. So 4 nights of gaming and 4 years of game time. We played a lot. Every time I was home on break, we played. Summers we played. And, it took a long time, but eventually Griswold got up to be, I think, a 11th level cleric, 10th or 11th level fighter, and 11th level wizard. So surpassed name level in 2 classes and reached name level in magic user. So now he finally is a wizard like everybody says he is. He's got some firepower against lower level monsters. He can go through quite a lot. It's possible to have quite a lot of fun. My brother really liked the way I played Griswold. I pulled out all the stops and was using everybody's creativity I could as a single player. I've not done much one-on-one play myself. I did play a play test a game I'm going to run at a convention a couple weeks ago with the guy from our Sunday game, when the game master couldn't make it and nobody else showed, and he had a lot of fun with that. I'm trying to remember the last time I did a one-on-one. I don't think I've ever really done a one-on-one session. So running them, I've not got a lot of experience with that. Playing in them, I've got lots of experience. It can be a lot of fun. It just depends on how the game master presents it to you, how you can interact with it as a player. Based on my experience as a player, I'm pretty confident I can do a pretty good job as a game master. You just have to figure out how to present it situations that are going to be have a chance for survival for a lone player. Definitely opportunities to get hirelings and henchmen and whatnot to help out. And so that's my experience with one-on-one play. It's going to be a long episode, so I'm going to wrap it up here. Thanks a lot for listening, and game on. And here's the end blurb. You can find Follow Me and Die at my blog, followmeanddie.com, here on Anchor and the many other places where my podcast is syndicated, Follow Me and Die YouTube channel, and you can find me on various sites where you see my social media avatar by the amazing Satine Phoenix. I have a social page on my blog that directs to all my various social media. To check out more of my thoughts and opinions in the realm of RPGs and games, check out my other sites. I also contribute to Multiverse World by the new TSR. If you like the podcast and the other things I share online, there are a few ways you can support my efforts. First, tell me and tell others. Just getting the word out is important. Consider backing my Patreon. Patrons get a vote on what PDF I publish next on One Bookshelf. You can check out my first Pay What You Want PDF at either DriveThruRPG or RPG Now. I also have a Teespring store where you can get a shirt with my logo, the same one by Satine Phoenix. Thanks for listening, and game on!